Thank you for joining us. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for being here. Just always excited on this night. I just like all day, I was just like waiting and like looking at my watch and like ready for Christmas. I don't know if your kids have been ready for weeks or you've been kind of checking off your list and checking it twice or wherever you kind of find yourself this Christmas. I'm glad you're here. I'm Chris, by the way. I'm the pastor here at Table Life Church. Just a great night to be together. And we're a church that I like to tell people, you know, our motto is be here, be loved, be long. But no perfect people allowed, okay? So if you're perfect, you got to get up and leave, okay? So go right ahead. None of us, including myself, right? Like, we all got stuff. We're all messed up in some way, but that's why we're here. That's why we need Jesus, and that's why we're here to worship him. And if you are new, and just a special hello online as well. We have people from around the country, often around the world, that worship with us. There are connection cards. Just want to bring to your attention right in the seat in front of you. So this is your first time in a long time. If you just want to take a moment to just fill this out, there's also a place for prayer requests. I know that these requests go to me, or they can also go to our prayer team too. But if there's something that we could be praying for you too, those of you guys online, there's a online link that is on our website that you can also fill out one of those here. So so I do just want to start off like the message tonight with a question. I don't know, did anybody like enjoy looking at Christmas lights? Yeah, Christmas lights? Okay. Anybody ever go to like, or maybe this season, go to one of like the light shows? Like the Hershey one, or like down in York, there's different, some of the state parks, Rocky Ridge has like light shows and things. But does anybody ever go to a free one? Free, meaning by like your neighbors, right? You go by your neighbor's show. I mean, every now and then, there's a house that like goes all out. Isn't that true? Like in your neighborhood, maybe in your neighborhood, right? Like, or maybe like there's one that you see on the news around the area. Well, there's this one that's called Lingolstown Lights. I don't know if you've seen it before. I actually got to talk to the guy who lives there. His name is Aiden. He's very cool. This year they kind of did a toned down version, which is still like really crazy and still set to music and dancing things, but not as crazy as before. And it's really amazing because like he has this place, his whole house just like lit up. And just to give you a little example of what that's like, here, go ahead and watch this. I mean, the first question like that comes to mind is like, what is his electric bill, right? I mean, it's just like crazy. But I did get a chance to chat with him a little bit about what he does and how he sets this up. Did you know most of the light strands are actually just your normal LED lights you buy at Walmart? Kind of crazy. Like, plus, he has on the house, he has pixels. So like the pixels that are like in jumbotrons and whatnot, he has pixels, about 1,000 of them on the gutters, the windows, the small trees. And he actually built himself a control panel that handles, okay, all of you electricians, you know what this means, 40 amps of AC dimming for several hundred individual control points. So very cool. But I asked him like when he starts planning this, and he begins in March or April. So like Easter time is when he's planning the next year's show. He starts setting up in September, and he uses this program. Can you guess the name? It's called Lightorama. That's the computer program. I mean, you just imagine if you've been to this show or other shows, you have people that like drive there and they park and you tune into your radio and you listen. I mean, suddenly the street is like transformed and people from everywhere come to see it. I mean, it's nearly impossible to go by and to not stop and to look at the lights. And I think that's what Christmas is about, right? I mean, light is something that is synonymous with Christmas. I mean, did you know that we buy in this country, just this country alone, 150 million strands of lights every single year? 150 million brand new strands of lights in this country. The tree in Rockefeller Center, anybody get the chance to ever go to New York? That alone has 5 miles of lights on it. It's like crazy, right? And the thing is, when I ask someone about like their favorite part of like a Christmas Eve service, like here at Table Life, you know, I'd love for them to say that the favorite part of Christmas Eve is the message or the music. But 9 out of 10 times, it's the moment that we hold up the candles in the dark at the end and sing Silent Night. See, there's something about light. Isn't that true? See, lights are one of the most enduring symbols of Christmas, but also they're one of the most enduring symbols of God. They're of the story of God. And in fact, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, you know what the Bible says in Genesis, very beginning of the Bible, first page. You see, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said," what? "Let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." See, light in the dark was the first symbol of God's presence in the world. And then later, God guided his people through the wilderness with, guess what? Light. In Exodus, it says this, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night." Or then, you can fast forward even to a time centuries later, when God's people were in a big time of darkness. I mean, they'd messed up big time, and they were conquered by their enemies and taken over and sent to exile. And God shows up by speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says this in Isaiah 9, verse 2. He says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great," what? "Light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." See, light in the dark was the symbol of God's presence among us. And then when Jesus was born, it had actually been 400 years since the last words of the prophets had been spoken, and people thought that God had abandoned them, he had left them, and once again, the world was super unstable and dark. But then guess what? God showed up. God showed up among us in this world in Jesus. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem to parents Mary and Joseph, visited by dirty shepherds. Imagine that. And in the Bible, Matthew and Luke, there's 4 accounts of life and ministry of Jesus. They're called the Gospels. Matthew and Luke, there are 2 of them. They tell us the traditional Christmas story of Mary and Joseph and the baby born. But John's another gospel writer, and he tells things a little bit differently. He says it this way. He says in John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So what's the symbol of God's presence among us? What is the symbol of God's presence among us? Light. It's light. It's a reminder that God is with us. And I think that there's a reminder that those words, they continue to provide us so much hope. I mean, for starters, first, John, in that scripture that we just read, he recognizes the darkness. He recognizes the darkness. And that's an important thing to do. That if we're going to be real, can we be real for a second? If we're going to be real, we have to recognize the darkness. We can't go like this, "Oh no, I don't see anything, I don't know anything," right? And to tell you the truth, you know, each year as Christmas approaches, you know, I'm preparing for the service and the message, and I'm like, you know, it's the same story, right? Like, how do you preach it? What should I say? What should I do? I pray for it. But I also try to pay attention to the world around us and what you all are going through. I mean, there's like some heavy stuff. What I really get from you all, and I know myself, is that so many people are just worn out and tired and just feeling kind of heavy and dark. And so I want to let you know that if you feel that tonight, for whatever reason, that's okay. That there's collective darkness, right? Like our world, our country, like has been through a lot. There's been political unrest, uncertainty, wars, shootings, violence. There's in local level, there's bullying in schools and uncertainty. There's people living in cars in our own community. There's people that are hungry. It's also personal darkness too, right? I mean, some of you guys, you know, you're scared about your job in the new year. Are you going to pay rent? Maybe you're facing a recent diagnosis. You're not sure what that means. Maybe this is the first Christmas you're missing somebody. There's an empty seat at the table. Some of you guys went through a divorce this year, or a family problem, or an addiction that just reared its ugly head once again, or you've had a falling out, or you're facing mental illness and mental illness challenges. See, my point is that darkness is real. We have to name it, and it doesn't go away just because it's Christmas. You know, I appreciate that John names the darkness as a part of Christmas. And I think there's a certain power and freedom to say that some of us may be there tonight, and that's okay. You don't have to be all jolly and cheerful, right? Everything doesn't have to be perfect to experience the power of Christmas. And just the way that Christmas lights kind of stand out in the dark, that's the way that the God's promises, they bring about good news to us. But first, we have to recognize the darkness in our life for the light to shine through it. And so it's against that backdrop that John says in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. At that time, the people of Israel were under a great oppression by the Roman government. There's a lot of darkness. There were people being crucified. There were people that were suffering. There was lots of darkness going on at the time, but the light shined. Jesus was born. And that's the good news, that Christmas is a simple message, that Jesus is here with you through it. And that's why I think it's important, like, we can't miss the spiritual dimension of Christmas. We can celebrate the secular side and all the bows and presents and parties and things, but there's something very empty when that goes away. Christmas just becomes an escape from everything else. But Jesus, when he fills Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, he brings us light, a light that is everlasting and that does not fade away. So the light shines in the darkness. The darkness is not overcome. At first, we have to recognize the darkness. Have you recognized your darkness? What is the darkness that you're facing, going through, looking at? But friends, the good news is that we don't stay there. See, John doesn't leave us there in his writing, in the gospel. See, like any good preacher, he invites us to do something with it. And what he invites us to do is to see the light. It's a very simple thing, see the light. In other words, darkness exists, but so does light. And in Christmas, we're reminded to look for it. And to focus on the light, not the darkness. And it can be a discipline, right? I mean, like, how many times are you, like, driving on down 83, and you have words to say that maybe sometimes pop out of your mouth, but really, you know, shouldn't. And you're, like, trying to fight traffic, and then you have this on your mind, and you're, like, going down all these things. Like, it can be a discipline, especially when we're facing darkness. And some days, even as a pastor, like, I have times that I doubt if I'm making a difference. You ever think about that? Like, am I making a difference in this world? Am I doing the right thing? Do I matter at all? You know, so there's times in our lives when it's difficult to see where God is present. But that's where it's even more important to remember the light. To remember the light, to go to places of light. People of light that light you up. To keep notes, to remind yourself. I have like a folder in my inbox that I put notes that people send me that are like encouraging, that I can go back to when I'm feeling down, and I'm like, oh, that just messed up again, or I did this wrong, or that kind of thing. To be reminded, it's a good idea if you're not serving others, you know? Is your life all about you? Well, guess what? Some of the light, the best light comes when we give ourselves away. When we're involved in a church or in a community nonprofit or organization, that we're going to the dark place, and guess what? 9 times out of 10, the light comes back to us and feeds us to say, wow, there's something good that I'm making here. There's something good that I'm contributing to. There's some light in the midst of the darkness. Sometimes you got to work for it, friends. Sometimes you got to, you know, squint. You ever entered like a dark room? Like some of you guys entered the sanctuary today and you're like, where do I sit? I don't want to like stump, right? Like you got to squint to see in the dark. And so John goes on and he says, basically, there's two kinds of people that listen to what he says here. There's two kinds of people when it comes to seeing the light. He says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He's describing Jesus there. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See, John's saying here, in other words, there's two kinds of people when it comes to seeing the light, those who see it and those who don't. Those who see God and those who choose not to or choose to pursue. Those who focus on the dark and those who focus on the light. And John is saying here, he says, be the kind of people who choose to see the light, who choose to spread the light, who choose to focus on the light, who look for God's presence. Because friends, it's so easy to focus on the dark. I mean, we're blasted with it over and over again. I mean, you know somebody. Okay, don't give them the elbow right now. You know somebody that's like you know, if you're going to say like a poo-poo on everything, right? Cynical, pessimistic. I mean, it's important to recognize the darkness, but to see the light and to focus on it. Those of you guys that are Peanuts fans, you know, like Snoopy and all, Charles Schulz, he made this brilliant comic we'll put on the screen here a number of years ago where you have like Linus and Charlie. Linus is bringing in a little candle, right? We're going to light candles soon. He says, what's this? I've heard that it's better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness. And Charlie's like, well, that's true, although there will always be those who will disagree with you. And then Lucy comes and she's like, you stupid darkness, right? Like we all have the Lucys. We always have the Lucys that are like, hey, the darkness is there. It's awful. It's terrible. That's easy to do. But John says, don't do that. He says, don't do that. Be somebody who looks for and is able to see the light. And friends, if you look for it, you will see it. You will see it. I want to ask you, even on this Christmas Eve, what are some of the reminders of God's light in your life tonight? Can you see it? Can you picture it? Do you know it? Maybe it's someone sitting right next to you or someone that you'll see tomorrow. Or the things that have happened that there's no way to explain it other than it's a God thing. I mean, what are the reminders of God's life in your light, in your life tonight? Moments of joy and laughter. Maybe over the last year, you've experienced a resiliency that you never had before. Or you said yes to getting help, right? Entering into recovery and saying, hey, I've been sober for 2 months, right? Like, yes, that's an amazing thing. Celebrate the light. Or to say, hey, you know what? We've taken a step closer in this relationship that we're mending that. Like, we're, you know, things are getting better and we're pursuing that. Hey, we're going to counseling. Like, yes, pursue the light, right? I mean, hey, you're trying really hard going back to school. You're working super hard at home and doing all that. Like, yes, celebrate the light. Seeing the difference that you're making in the classroom or the workplace or just bringing that little bit of light to the dark place to celebrate it. In a world that's dark, tonight, Jesus wants us to see the light. But as we see the light, Jesus calls us not to just stay there either. He calls us to do this, to be it, to be the light. See, much later when Jesus grows up, because Jesus didn't stay in the manger in Bethlehem. He grew to be a man who called followers and was a teacher and walked the earth performing miracles and showing the way of God. He said this in John chapter 12. He said, believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. You know, I love that sentence. We can be people whose lives are shaped by what we receive. In other words, when you see the light, you're supposed to be it too. Some of you guys might be saying here, well, you know what? This year, like, things are going well. I'm doing pretty good. Like in my relationships, financially, like, I'm contributing to, like, I'm all these things are good, and I want to celebrate that with you. Maybe this Christmas you are feeling full and well and full of hope and joy, and that's wonderful. That's a gift to have. But sometimes when things are going well, we become complacent. We just focus on ourselves more and more. And we forget God. And let me say this, that your light is not meant to be reserved just for you, but it's a light that other people who don't have it need right now to be able to shine in their lives. It was just like recently, I've just been like so busy over the last few weeks. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, right? Nobody can relate to the busyness of Christmas, but you know, just going nonstop and going here and I have this like place to be and these people to meet with and that kind of thing. And at my house, I have this box in the attic that's full of Christmas lights. And I had all intention, like Thanksgiving comes, to like put up my lights. And then guess what happened? Week comes after Thanksgiving. No time, right? No, it snowed, right? It snowed. I'm like, I'm not going out when it's like 10 degrees, right? Like my fingers turn purple. So, I'll do it a little bit later. And then I got busy and that kind of thing. And before I knew it, it was like last week. And no lights up in my house. And I'm like, oh, well, at this point, I'm just going to give it up. Well, got this little nudge. I don't know if you've ever gotten a little nudge before, just like internally, like feeling I should do something. And I'm like, okay, it's so cold outside, but I am going to be the hero, and I'm going to light up my neighborhood. I'm going to light up my block. So I go up to the attic, get my lights out, bring them out, put the extension cords in. I do have to confess a couple words came out of my mouth as I'm doing this that were not very pastor-like, but that's okay because, like, God is good and he forgives. And I was walking along and putting them up, and finally I plugged them in, and woo, you know, they lit up. Not quite like Lingolstown lights. I mean, this is like maybe 15 strands at max. But like, it was like happy and joyful. And then I go inside and I get back to work and doing my old stuff. But then the next day, I looked out the window. And guess what? My neighbor, whose house was completely dark, just like mine, all of a sudden their lights were up. Huh. Maybe a little friendly competition. Do you have any friendly neighbor competition there, right? No, I don't know. But I looked across and their lights are up. And then around the block, like on the corner, all of a sudden, psh, little lights. And then down the block, psh, little lights. And like, I had no idea if this was because of me or just we've all been busy, right? But all the lights started to light up the neighborhood. See, it's easy to think that you don't matter or that you don't make a difference and that nobody cares or anything. But let me tell you, this light is catching. When there's a light in you to be shared, when you do share it, it's amazing what happens because of it. And friends, it's amazing to think like God, the great big God creator of the universe, wants to use little me. What's it use me to bring a little difference, to bring a little light and hope to this world? And so I'm going to ask you tonight, how is God calling you to be that light? How is God calling you to be the light? I mean, in a selfish world, maybe it's to pay attention to what others need around you. In our own community here, there's people going hungry and homeless, friends. You know, in a world where anger is so easy, maybe it's for you to be the hopeful voice. Maybe in a broken relationship to offer forgiveness or grace. Maybe to give someone a second chance. Maybe for you in a place of injustice to speak up. To speak up for someone. Or maybe there's someone hurting and you just got to go and sit with them. To be with them. To be present. Because the more we see the light, the more we desire to be the light. And so Christmas is really that simple. In a world that's dark, Jesus is here. He's at work in your life and in mine, even when it's hard to see. He's at work in the youngest and the oldest. He's at work in all of us, in men and women, and just everyone that is here. He is at work, and he wants to work even when it's hard to see. So three things tonight. Recognize the darkness. See the light. And be the light. Recognize the darkness. Don't doubt it. Don't run away from it. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it. Name it. See the light. Where are the places? You see those little bursts of God showing up. But then how are you called to be the light? To bring that little spark that then turns into a flame that then ignites and lights up the neighborhood. So to close, I want to round back to the story of Lingolstown lights and Christmas lights. You know, I went to go see the house where Aiden lives and just the amazing thing there. And I'm like, there is no hope for me, right? My house is never going to look like that. And thankfully, my electric bill won't either. But then, you know, I drove around and saw some of the other lights in the neighborhood. And there was this other house that had a lot of lights on. No, like, amazing, like, musically tuned light show or anything. But right next to it, there was a house that had this. Right? Ditto. What does ditto mean? Like, same, like, just like that, right? Likewise. And I thought to myself, what a great reminder of Christmas. That you and I are not the source of light. Jesus is. But tonight, friends, tonight, we're called to point to it. To see it and to be it. Even in the dark. Let's pray.